It's live expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. It's St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patty's Day to all of my Irish friends. I'll be making some Irish stew for dinner. Hope you'll celebrate the same way. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. The website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. If you're not following me on Twitter, you are missing half the conversation, always. All of the content gets pushed out that way, so it's a great way to stay on top of it. And then our free weekly newsletter is as well. Twitter, it's at Glink. Couldn't be easier. At G-L-I-N-K. And our number here, 404-872-0750. We're talking today about rebuilding your life. So there's been some confusion when I talk about how I say that people call on the phone and I say, well, you know, welcome to the show. How can I help you rebuild today? And people think that I mean that they're building a house. And so I wanted to take a step back and talk about these rules for rebuilding America. Because when I'm talking about rebuilding, I don't know that you're building or rebuilding your house. I don't know if you have a renovation project going on right now. And I don't. It's not really the point of what I'm talking about. So I want to dig in a little bit and talk about this concept of rebuilding. This week in which the Dow hit another high, we saw it went down for the first time in, like, I don't know, 9 or 10 days on Friday, down 25 points, but up for the week and ended at 14,514. The Dow is rebuilding. NASDAQ, not so much, right? NASDAQ is still at 3,200, 3,249, if you want to get really particular. Its high was 5,000, but the S&P 500 is also floating at a record high. And so the Dow is rebuilding on the backs of what it hopes is going to be a record. Hopes of what it's going to be is a brand new economy. And I look and I think to myself, right, the last time that the Dow hit a high like this, we ended up within 6 months of a huge crash. So are we at that tipping point right now? You know, if you listen to the show, that I kind of think we're due for another one. But rebuilding America starts at a very micro level. Like, the stock market, in my mind, is kind of macro. It's big. It's huge. It's overarching. There are 500 companies in the S&P. All of that is a bigger picture. It represents one slice of a larger economy, but it's a bigger picture. When I talk about the rules for rebuilding America, I'm talking about what's going on in your house, at your kitchen table. I'm talking about you being the CEO of your own economy. And as such, you need to figure out a way to get yourself to ground zero. You have to figure out a way to get yourself all the way down, pared all the way back, and in some cases, just look in the financial mirror. You have to understand what it's going to take to begin the rebuilding. And for so many of us, it's like a bottomless pit. Nobody knows where the bottom is. It's like saying we're in the train tunnel and there's no light there because we don't know. It could be 5 feet ahead of us, or it could be 5,000 feet, or it could just be around the bend and we can't see it yet. There are so many people out there, so many people like you, who are walking the mile that you're walking. So you have to get yourself to ground zero. You have to look in the mirror and say, what is it that I have to do to get to a place where I can rebuild? And I don't think it's just people who are destitute or people who are on food stamps or people who have lost jobs. I think all of us have a place of ground zero that we build back from. And it happens even to wealthy people. I was on the phone with one of my dearest friends, Ellen, and her dad had lung cancer surgery, about a month ago. And he's a doctor. He's always worked. He's 75. He still puts in a full day. 2 weeks after lung cancer surgery, he was back on the floor doing his rounds. He has plenty of money. But he has this obligation he feels like to his patients. It's the kind of doctor you always wanted to see. He's in Florida, by the way, down in Miami. He's the doctor you want taking care of you, and so none of his patients want him to give it up. But for his own health, his own life, his own family, his ground zero, and I'm telling you this so you understand, there's more to this picture than just being, I've lost a job and I can't afford to pay for food anymore. It's more than that, right? Every one of us has these kinds of difficult decisions. And for him, my friend Ellen's father, he has to close his practice. He has to walk away from 500 patients, many of whom he has cared for 30 years or more. And he has to divest himself of the practice, of the financial obligation of running the practice, and all the rest. His ground zero is getting rid of that, getting rid of those expenses, moving into a different place. He still wants to practice medicine. It is so key to his identity that he is a doctor, and a really good doctor. But he can't do what he used to do. He has to rebuild what's left of his life, keeping the pieces that make him feel like who he is, but moving forward. And so he's got the rules for rebuilding right ahead of him, right? Get yourself to ground zero. The realization that he has to give up his practice and start something else and heal himself is getting him to ground zero. He has to take the pain now. He's got to sell it now and get rid of it. And it's going to cost some money. He's got to pay off the landlord a little bit. He's going to have to, over 4 to 6 months, write to all of his patients. He's going to have to wind down the practice. He's going to have to find someone to sell it to. There is pain associated with that. There's some financial pain, but there's the emotional pain that he is moving into this next stage of life. And it's not easy. It's not easy. But he's recognized, with help from his wife and his kids, that this is what has to happen. He has to make strategic decisions, not emotional decisions. The emotional decision was, I'm going back to work 2 weeks after lung cancer surgery, right? Because I'm invincible and I can do this. And the strategic decision is, it's in my best interest and in the best interest of my patients to move on, to divest, to close, to take the pain and move forward. He has to make decisions that are going to require some cash. So my fourth rule for rebuilding America is, any buying decision you make, you have to put substantial cash down. Do not mortgage your future. And for my doctor friend, he was in the midst of buying another house, a vacation house up in New Hampshire, in Vermont. And they just had to put it on hold, because he doesn't know where he's going to end up financially after selling the business and what that income is going to look like. And he's probably going to be fine and will be able to buy it. But until he understands that, no mortgaging the future, because you don't know what it's going to be. And then finally, you cannot sign paperwork until you read every single word. Right? You just have to do it. And any decision, I shouldn't even limit this to buying decisions, right? Because there are selling decisions, there's refinancing decisions. Any time you're going to make a decision that's going to impact your financial life, when you are in the process of rebuilding it, and even if you're not, you have to read every word. Because if you don't read it, who's going to read it? Yes, you can hire an attorney to read the words for you, but that doesn't mean you're going to hear the attorney telling you what it means. If you read it yourself, you force yourself to think about it. Yeah, it's not fun reading an 80-page mortgage document. I hate doing it. But if you don't do it, if you don't care enough, then the rebuilding hasn't really begun. You must be proactive. You can't hide. You've got to rebuild the financial discipline in your life. You've got to answer every call and open every piece of mail and take control of your financial and emotional life. You've got to rebuild yourself. When I say, how can I help you rebuild today? This is what I'm talking about. This idea that you can rebuild your life and rebuild your family and rebuild your future. And it just takes one step. And the minute you start rebuilding yourself, the most amazing things happen. You rebuild your family. You rebuild your block. Your neighborhood comes back. Your community comes back. The cities come back. It doesn't happen overnight. I don't want you saying, oh, Elise, right, ever the optimist. It's all going to happen overnight. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it's like a wheel that turns. And it goes and gives you bigger energy as it moves. In fact, I should post a link to this. I'm going to do this later. I have to wait till my son wakes up, though. He showed me this great video on YouTube a couple of weeks ago where, you know how dominoes, they line up dominoes, you tip one domino and like 10,000 dominoes topple over? Well, somebody wanted to do a science experiment, and I think it was in New Zealand, where how many dominoes would it take to knock down a block that was like a ton, that weighed a ton, right? And so they started with like, and I think the answer was 6 or 8. It only takes 6 or 8 dominoes to knock down a domino the size of a ton. I'm going to post the video a little bit later on my Twitter channel, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Follow me so you can see the link. And this is a great metaphor for what I'm talking about, because little tiny steps, and I think it was 3 or 4 little dominoes, really little dominoes, right? 3, 4, 5 inches tall. And then you double the size, you double the size, you double the size, you double the size, and pretty soon you're at like 250 tons. And the force that knocks those over can grow almost exponentially. That's what I'm talking about. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, and pretty soon it's your whole block, your whole neighborhood, your whole community. It's exactly the same principle, and it all starts with you. I'm going to post these on my website tomorrow when I get back to the office so that you can read them to yourself, and I'll tweet them out this afternoon during the show, each one of them, the rules for rebuilding America, 1 through 5. Get yourself to ground zero. Take the pain now. Make strategic, non-emotional decisions. Do not mortgage your future. So put cash down. And don't sign until you read every word. I promise it's going to work. All right, let's go to the phones. Oh, well, first we're going to do a little break, and then we're going to go to the phones. Line up now. Lines are wide open. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink. Happy St. Patty's Day. We'll be right back with more here on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB. It's time for Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy. Rhonda, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. So, owner's title insurance. We hear a lot about title insurance, but most buyers make the mistake of assuming that the lender's title is an owner's title policy, but it isn't. How do you help your buyers understand there's a big difference?
Well, this is part of our 8-step buyer action timeline. It's a checklist that takes you through the process so that you understand, yes, I've got that marked off, I can move ahead. Owner's title insurance is talked about by the closing attorney, but if you walk in and the closing attorney's had a bad day, or they think that their closing coordinator's already mentioned it and you said no, you won't get it. And so the difference is the owner's title policy protects the owner's equity, so your down payment. But it protects you against stuff that the lender could care less about, right? Once you do your down payment, the lender could care less if you're protected. So there's a vast difference. The lender's protecting their interest with a lender's title policy, and the owner's title policy is something that you buy separately that protects your interest, whatever equity you have built into the property.
Right. So it's, in my mind, there is no better money that you can spend than buying an owner's title policy. I recommend it for everybody who's buying a house.
Well, it's a subsequent insurance, you know,
right.
and it's important. But unfortunately, like we started this segment with, it's something that is confusing to buyers because they think they already have purchased it. Well, it's
right
on the HUD. It must be there. That's what they're talking about. But they don't discriminate against it. So, in other words, they don't say, well, this is lender's title insurance. So,
right,
so important.
It is important. It's also important if you're buying with cash. So many people
are
buying with these cheap houses with cash, and they don't realize that everything's on the line. Because if you don't have a lender driving this, the lender demanding a lender's title policy, there isn't even an opportunity sometimes to have the conversation. So you, as the buyer of a cash property, you're the one who has to say to your escrow company, I want this.
Right.
I want an owner's title policy.
Right.
Yeah, have to have it. Good points, Rhonda. You've got more of this on your blog?
Of course, rhondaduffy.com.
All right, everybody, you should go check it out. This is Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy. Thanks so much.
See you next week.
You bet. News Talk, I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB. 35 minutes past the hour on St. Patty's Day. We are. I'm drinking green tea today, green tea with honey, in honor of St. Patrick's Day. Green coffee was just a little too much to stomach. I don't know. There is green coffee, right? Green. It's because it's raw, but the idea of grinding it up and actually making something of it didn't seem too good. Green tea with honey, though, stashes, I highly recommend it. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I have tweeted out our 5 rules for rebuilding America. Now let's see if we can help you put it into practice. Linda joins us on the line from Jonesboro. Hey, Linda, welcome to the program.
Hi, Elise. I'm going through a refinance.
I think we've lost Linda. Let's try Bill. Bill, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Bill, welcome to the program. How can I help you today?
Hey, thanks for taking me. My wife and I own a house in Savannah that we have renters in. We moved to Atlanta for law school, and we just pay too much in rent right now.
Uh-huh.
Basically, between the renters we have in Savannah and here, we're break even. We want to know if it's a good thing to maybe look into buying a foreclosure up here. Our plan is to be debt-free within 2 years after law school.
Well, I love that you want to be debt-free after law school. Are you earning any money right now?
I am not. My wife makes about $70 a year.
Okay. So you do qualify to actually buy something.
Oh, yes, yes.
So the best thing you can do is look for a foreclosure, and there are plenty of them, and they're pretty cheap. I mean, you can buy a decent property still in Atlanta on the lower end for maybe $50,000 to $60,000 to $70,000 or 1x income. And with interest rates today, it would be a lot. I mean, you could do a lot more than that and still be well within the threshold. What I think you should do, and I know you're driving right now, so don't do this while you're driving. What I think you might want to do is look at HUDHomestore.com. HUDHomestore.com. I've written about this on my website, and what HUDHomestore.com is it's the website for all properties from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, right? So it is all the FHA foreclosures and any other properties that have come back to HUD. They have licensed the ability to, you know, create this whole platform to a private company. And now these different private companies organize the foreclosures all over the country. So they are HUD Homes. It is for HUD.gov, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, but it's HUDHomestore.com. And if you go into Atlanta, and you can't do this because you're driving, but I'm not, so I can't. So I've just pulled up all of the homes in Atlanta. All you do is just click on Georgia, and it pulls them all up. And it shows you that there are HUD homes that are for as little as here's one for $9,000 in Macon,
wow,
Georgia, right? All the way to, there's a new one on the market for $59,000, $30,000. I'm just sort of, you know, flipping through them. There's thousands and thousands of these homes all over the place.
Sure.
So you can, and I'm looking at them, and none of them are that expensive. There are a couple in the $100,000 range, one for two something. Most of them are 30, 50, 22. You know, I don't make this stuff up. So you may not want to live in Rome, Georgia, or Lawrenceville, or wherever it is, but there are properties on there that are incredibly inexpensive and available, and there may be something that's like a diamond in the rough, and that you're going to buy it. And because you want to live in it, because it's owner-occupied, you get a heads-up over everybody else who's thinking about buying a property through HUDHomestore.gov. So that they want to sell to people like you who want to live there, and the fact that you've got such a good debt-to-income ratio will help you. They also have programs that you may qualify for. So if you were a lawyer or a policeman or a fireman, firefighter, you would qualify for even extra low down payment loans and all this kind of stuff. But if you guys have some cash, you'll have to put down at least 5%, but it should work out pretty well for you. So HUDHomestore.com, and I will tweet this out so you can see it. And then really, the idea of being debt-free, including your mortgage, I would focus on any school loans you have first, right? Because law school loans are just really, really hard, really difficult. So start with getting rid of the law school loans first, then move to your mortgage. For right now, mortgages are still deductible. You've got some income coming in, so it's going to help you that way. Just having the property, and maybe it'll even cut down on your rental expenses, because if you get a loan on, let's say, a $70,000 property, and you put down 5%, so let's say you're getting a $65,000 mortgage, it's just incredibly, incredibly inexpensive. And it may even be less than what you're paying to live there, to rent right now. And so that would go give you even more money to pay down your loans, which is exactly what you want. Now, the one thing about HUD Homes is you've got to have a real estate agent who is approved by HUD, right? So certified by HUD in order to buy and make an offer, because these are only done online. So you can call HUD and get a referral, or the better thing to do is you can take a look and search properties that have already sold, and you can see who may, in the neighborhoods that you're interested in, and you can see who was the winning bidder and who the realtor was for that. And then you can call that real estate agent, and you can work with that agent on what's going on. And I think it's a terrific way to do it. So HUDHomestore.com, and I will tweet that out a little bit later in the show. 42 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Linda, you back with us?
Yes, thank you, Lee.
I'm very glad to hear it. We didn't even get started, so what's on your mind today?
Okay, I'm going through a refinance with an investment property.
Uh-huh.
Listening to your program, I think I have done just about everything correctly. I was in a 30-year. I refinanced to 20. This is through the HARP program. The original rate was 6.875. I got it down to 4.250. And I guess somebody called me yesterday and said that they needed additional information, which is not a problem. I can give them that. But reading through the email, it states a rate lock extension fee at $20.24 a day. What does that mean?
So you're supposed to close when?
He gave me an estimate date of 5/28.
Okay. And can he... So a rate lock extension is the rate is guaranteed until that day.
Okay.
After that day, it's no longer guaranteed. Usually you get a 30-day lock for free.
Uh-huh.
And then if you want them to hold that rate, then you're going to have to pay some money for it.
Okay, so from the day that I turned in all my paperwork, which was about a week ago, up until this date he gave me, which is 5/28, I would have to pay this $20.24 per day after the 28th if we don't close on the 28th?
Right, but if it's his fault and not your fault, you don't want to have to pay that.
Okay.
But I would talk to him a little bit more. First of all, you should have a full month. So you should have the rate lock. If he's estimating closing on 5/28, you should have the rate lock through, let's say, 4/2 or whatever 30 days was after you gave him all of your paperwork.
Okay.
But it could be 30 days from after the application. So was actually put in and when they originally agreed on what the interest rate was going to be. So what date did they originally agree was going to be the interest rate?
That was a week ago when I turned in my good faith estimate, so that was like March the 8th, between the 7th and the 8th, when I turned in the good faith estimate and everything looked okay.
Great, and then that's when they said, okay, we're going to give you this rate.
Exactly, and he said it was locked in until we closed.
Great, so I would say I want a rate lock for at least a month, 30 days, because we know, everybody knows things can happen, and after that, I'll pay the rate lock fee.
Okay, let me ask you this. If we can close before the 28th, would that be a problem?
No. It's only a problem if he can't. You're not really dependent on you. I'm sure you could go tomorrow and close, right?
Exactly. But that date stands out because I'm getting married on the 25th of May.
Ooh, congratulations.
Thank you so much. And I don't anticipate being here on the 28th. So can I, like, ask them to move the date up now as far as closing?
Yes, I would say to him right now, the 5/28 is a great day, except you're not going to be in town because you're getting married and going on your honeymoon. Can you make it 5/22?
Okay. And you say that fee.
And it sounds like if he's going to hold the rate lock it sounds like he's holding it 6 weeks, 7 weeks. That's a good amount of time.
Uh-huh.
So without having to pay anything else. So I think you're getting a pretty good deal. You just now need it to work within your, you know, the whole life, the rebuilding of your life that's going on.
Exactly. So if he agreed that I can close on May the 20th, anytime between May the 20th and the 23rd, that would be good?
It is good. You just have to make sure that he has this, and tomorrow is the day you should set this up, because you have to say to him, look, I'm getting married, and after the 28th, I'm not going to be around. So... We after the 25th, and I really can't do it on the day I get married, so how about if we do it on the 20th to the 23rd and buy us all a little extra time?
Uh-huh.
So what he's doing is giving you an estimate. He may be ready to close sooner, but if you're telling him you can't close after,
mm-hmm.
he will be highly motivated to get the paperwork done.
Oh, okay. And you think this is a good deal?
So your interest rate is where again?
It's 4.25%.
Yes.
And it was 6.875.
Yes.
At 30 years, and I got it down to 20 years.
I think you should close tomorrow. It's a rental property.
Yes. It's a rental property.
Yes, I think it's a great.
Okay.
I think it's great all the way around, and you're getting married, which is more important. So I love that you're rebuilding your house and your finances and everything all together. It's exactly the right thing to do.
Okay. Just one thing, huh? would it be a problem if I mention to him that me and my fiancé will probably buy a new house before we get married? Or just let everything stay as is?
Oh, my goodness. You're going to get married and buy a new house and refinance? Yes, that's going to be a problem. So your fiancé is smart because he's taken a snapshot of where you are.
Okay, no, what I'm saying is that...
Go buy the house after you get back from your honeymoon. Don't buy the house now, because it's going to complicate things. Get this refinance done, and then go get married, and then come home and buy a house.
Buy a house, okay.
Do it afterwards. You really just don't want to complicate everything all at the same time, because if you go buy and close on a house 3 days before you close on your refinance, it changes your financial picture for the refinance.
Okay, so all this go through and close.
You don't want to stack everything in the same week. It's enough to do a refi and a wedding in the same week. That's it.
Okay.
I'm limiting you, Linda. Then you get this done, because HARP isn't, you may not even qualify for HARP after you're remarried.
That's true.
Right now you qualify.
Okay.
So take the 4.25% and be done with it. And do not apply for another loan for another house until you guys get back from your honeymoon. Until this loan closes, don't do anything else. Don't buy a car. Don't charge like $10,000 on your credit cards. Just don't do that. Just
do nothing. Make sure this is closed.
Just get this closed. Yes, that's exactly the way to do it. You're welcome, and congratulations. What an exciting time for you both.
Yes, it is.
All right, you take care. It's 49 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. What you don't realize, folks, is that they look, right before they close, they may look again at everything. Even with a HARP refinance, I know they're not supposed to, but this is a rental property. Who knows what they're doing? Just get it closed. Get it done. It's better than good. It's done. That's what we say in television. All right, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'll be back in a moment to take more of your questions. Next on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com. At midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
I got the funniest tweet at Twitter from one of our regular listeners. She's a CPA, and she said, Elise Glink, rebuilding love one heart at a time. She really liked Linda's story, and so do I. Except, Linda, we just want you to do two major things in 1 week, right? Refi and marry. You could buy the house later. 404-872-0750. Liz joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Liz.
Hey, Elise. A developer has offered us a premium to buy our house, and so basically it's like a for sale by owner. So is the only thing we need to do is have the contract looked over by a real estate attorney?
Well, where are you going?
Well,
what are you doing?
They just knock on the door
and say, hey, I want to buy your house. I'll give you 20% more.
We're going to move somewhere in the area, sell him our house. The closing date is set like months from now to give us time to find another house. He's pretty flexible with the timing.
Yes, you need a real estate attorney.
Right. We were going to have the contract run, have an attorney look at the contract.
You haven't signed the contract yet, have you?
No. That's why I'm calling you.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so you need a residential real estate attorney.
Right.
You can find one through the Atlanta Bar Association.
Okay.
Or the Decatur Bar Association. I'm sure there's one there. And you want somebody who does house deals, who specifically is used to working with developers, just in case. I assume the developer used a form that they had.
Right.
So that's going to protect them, not you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is there anything you want to exclude? I assume they're either tearing your house down and rebuilding, or they're going to rebuild your house.
They're going to actually rent it for a couple of years and then probably tear it down.
Okay. So you need to make sure that the terms are exactly what you want, that you're getting what you want, that they, you know, are putting down the good faith deposit and all the rest of the stuff. So you need a real estate attorney.
Okay.
And then you guys need to figure out where you're going and what you want to do.
Right. Yeah, so that part I'm not so concerned about as making sure that before we sign this contract.
Yes, well, yes, before you sign. So
right.
Tomorrow, do you know a real estate attorney?
My husband does.
Okay, so I want you to get an attorney who really understands residential real estate and has worked with developers before. That's what I want for you. So you can call the Atlanta Bar Association, get some referrals, ask for the head of the real estate committee, and then talk to that person and tell them what you want, and they'll give you some names, and then call the names. That's how you're going to get the smartest, most up-to-date residential real estate attorneys. And you can do the same thing if Decatur has a bar association as well. 58 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Happy St. Patty's Day. We got a whole nother hour of answering your questions next on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
It's 7 minutes past the hour on St. Patrick's Day. Welcome back, everybody, to the second hour of the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. Great conversations going on right now on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. You can join us there. I've tweeted out my 5 rules for rebuilding America, including getting yourself to ground zero, taking the pain now, make strategic decisions, not emotional ones, and then, of course, don't mortgage your future, right? I don't mind mortgages, but I don't want you to mortgage your future. And then, of course, don't sign anything until you read every word. If you can just do those 5 things, you're going to rebuild your life, you're going to rebuild your financial life, and like the dominoes thing that we talked about earlier in the show, in a very short period of time, You're going to be knocking down your chips, and they're going to be building bigger and bigger, and that energy is actually going to change the world, I promise. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. John joins us on the line from Decatur. Hey, John.
Hi, Elise. Actually, I'm from Blairsville, but my situation is that I work in Decatur.
Okay.
And I'm looking at apartments, but also interested in condos. And just, I heard what you said about the HUD Home Store, and wondered if what is the best way to find foreclosed condos in Midtown Decatur. And didn't know if the HUD Home Store was the way to go on that.
Well, all right. Probably. So let's back up a little bit. So you're working in Decatur. You want to live closer to work. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, it would be just part of the week, mm-hmm. and three or four nights a week. Of course, I would be back in the mountains during the weekend.
Sounds like a nice way to live your life.
Well, it is.
Okay. So you don't want to spend a whole lot on the condo, but I think you'll probably pay less if you buy a foreclosure than if you rent one. Right?
Correct.
So if you rent from somebody else, it'll be more. So what you'd ideally want to do, perfect situation, is you would want to go to HUDHomestore.com, and you can just search Decatur, right? You can search Decatur condos. So there's it allows you to search by state, county, city, zip code, street, price point, the number of bedrooms, the buyer type, you know, whether you're owner-occupant, investor. For you, you would be an owner-occupant.
Right.
The status of the property, if they're accepting bids, if it's a new listing, price reduced. There's all different kinds of things. So you can search all those ways. It's a really good search engine. And it'll allow you to pick what you want. And then what you're going to need to do is find a real estate agent, and I would do it online. I would find somebody who's been working in Decatur who has bid successfully on other properties, because you can see that when you do the search.
Right.
And then I would contact one of those agents and have a conversation about it. Now, you may want that person who's a Decatur, and the reason you want a Decatur agent is because you're going to also want to go offline and see what else is out there that's a foreclosure that's not a HUD home. So HUDHomestore.com is only FHA foreclosures, but there are all kinds of other foreclosures in Decatur as well. And so there may be something that's off of HUD Home Store that may be perfect for you.
But how do you find those?
Well, so the agent, right, the agent that you're going to work with is a regular real estate agent in Decatur, and has, you want somebody who has this kind of offline, or really it's, you know, just online but differently, foreclosure experience of searching for foreclosures. And so you want to, it's key to find the right agent. So they need to be certified by HUD so they can help you bid on HUDHomestore.com, but you also want them offline. And offline is even more important, because there are more than just FHA foreclosures in Decatur.
What do you generally think of the condo market in Midtown Atlanta and Decatur?
I think it's overbuilt. I think there are a lot of foreclosures. I think there are a lot of great deals. I think it's going to come back. I think, you know, eventually it's going to get sopped up. All the foreclosures over the next 4 or 5 years will get sopped up. It may not even take that long. And people will rent them out, buy them. In fact, I was driving around just some of the different neighborhoods when I was in Atlanta a few weeks ago. And they're really charming. Midtown is charming. They're great restaurants. I'm always hanging out at that Starbucks that's like on Fifth Street or whatever it is. It's Fifth and Peach. I think it's Fifth or Seventh and Peach Tree, wherever that thing is. And, you know, and I like how that feels, that neighborhood. And I just think that's where a lot of the foreclosures are, but they're going to come back. Everything is going to come back. It's just a matter of time.
Right.
And how much it's going to cost you. So if you're going to make this move, what you'd want to think about is, you know, am I going to be at this job for a while? And if I'm not at this job, what could I rent this place out at?
Right.
And can I manage this when I'm living in the mountains on the weekends, or if I get a job somewhere else, can I still manage this rental property? And how would I feel about that? I want you to think about what this exit strategy looks like. I never care about getting into an investment. I mean, I care about it. I want you to get into the right investment, but I want you to think about the exit strategy so that you're making a strategic, not emotional decision, right? That's like my number three point in my Rebuilding America thing, right? You have to make strategic decisions, not emotional ones. So if the strategic decision for you is I want to have something closer to work when I'm at work 3-4 days a week, and I can pay less by owning and build and have this equity property and then by renting, those are strategic reasons to buy, and I'm good with that. You've thought about it, and I like it.
Sure.
So now the next step is, okay, so now I no longer work for that company, or I take a better job somewhere else. I don't need to be in Decatur 3-4 days a week. I need to be in Midtown Atlanta. I want to buy something there. Do I sell this property? Do I just rent it out? It was so cheap to buy. It's cheap to own and maintain. What happens if something happens with the property and now I need to step up with $20,000? You know, what happens if there are more foreclosures? So you have to look at best case and worst case scenario so that you understand what that looks like for you.
Sure.
And that's mostly what I want you to do.
Very good. That's great. Well, thanks, Elise. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm going to do a little, I don't do this often, but I'm going to do a little plug for myself. Two things.
Okay.
Because I think it'll help you and everybody else listening. I wrote a book called Buy, Close, Move In. Buy, Close, Move In. It's on Amazon. It's like $9. And it really will help you understand how to buy foreclosures and short sales and all these things that I talk about every week on the show. I walk through all of it, and I give you my perspective on the housing crisis and what you need to know. I think it'll help you. Anybody who wants to buy a foreclosure or short sale, this book will help. So I recommend you buy it. It's at Amazon. Like I said, it's like $9. The second thing is I'm doing something new, and we're hoping to bring it to WSB a little bit later on this spring, and it's called Real Estate Minutes. So a bunch of years ago, I did these Real Estate Minutes, and every day, Monday to Friday, they were on the air. And now we're videoing them. I have a very successful YouTube channel called Expert Real Estate Tips. If you go to YouTube and just type in my name, Elise Glenk, it'll pop up.
Okay.
And a lot of those videos deal with buying foreclosures and short sales and mortgages and the process and what's going on, you know, in the news as well, and how it affects real estate. And you can sign up, and every day one will come into your box. We do like 3 or 4 or 5 a week. It just depends on the week. But I think if you watch some of those videos, and they're just a minute long, they'll really help you have a bigger perspective on all these different pieces of the puzzle. And that's free. So, you know, it's on you. But it's, I think this kind of stuff really helps.
Very good. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Let me know what happens, okay?
Okay.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. 16 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Holly joins us on the line from Fayetteville. Hi, Holly.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay. I have a question for you. Earlier this week, my husband and I were looking at a new home. Not a new home, but as evidently was a foreclosure or a short sale or something.
Uh-huh.
And it was owned by a nonprofit. They referred to it as a 503C.
Sure.
And we're looking just to size down. And when we went, there was information at the house that indicated that the person to buy it, if it was a two-person household, could only have an income of $63,000. Dollars annually, and
mm-hmm.
we're just a little bit above that, like within 10,000. We're both retired, and I had just never heard of anything like that, and I was just wondering if you had in some how does that all transpire, where there's limits as to what your annual income is as opposed to what you can buy.
Well, I have heard of that, and that's not surprising, and actually that's a pretty high income for what a lot of those nonprofits do. So there is money that comes from the federal government, and it gets filtered down to housing authorities and nonprofits all around the world, all around the country. And the money comes down, and the whole concept here is to help people who normally couldn't afford to get into a certain house in a certain neighborhood to help them get into that house. So there are different kinds of limitations depending on how the nonprofit is set up. So it might be first-time buyers only, or it might be usually an income limit, or it might be where they live now and where they're coming from. So you've run into an income limit, and that excludes you from buying this property, because what they're really trying to do is get somebody who normally couldn't afford that neighborhood to move into that neighborhood. And that's their mission, and that's what they do. So, yes, I've heard of it, and it is completely legal. And, unfortunately, if you make more than $63,000 a year, you won't be able to buy that house.
It just seems like we are getting back to what we were in when people were qualifying for homes that, you know, back before all this crash started, when people got into homes they couldn't afford.
So, Holly, that's a really interesting perspective, and I hear it all the time, but it isn't really what our problem was. Right? That really, there were some people who couldn't afford their homes. But even in the worst of the recession, 96% of everybody who bought their home was affording it just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 4% at the very worst of the recession of people who went into foreclosure and bankruptcy. Now, we're a very big society, right? We have over 120 million people who own property. Mm-hmm. So even 4% of 120 million or 5% is a big number. But it's not what you think. It's not why we had a recession.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't. It's we had a recession because banks stopped lending to each other, the credit markets froze up all over the world, and yes, there was a tip of the iceberg of people who couldn't afford their mortgages, but what happened to that and how that got leveraged by the big banks who leveraged 30 times their cash. That's where we really had a problem. But you should feel good because 96% of everybody who bought a house afforded it and wanted to be able to pay those mortgages on time. That's not the problem. And that's not what's happening with that property today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're looking for hugely well-qualified people who want to be able to pay their mortgages on time. They're not, a 501c3 is not looking for fast profits.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they do. So please don't feel bad about that.
I would think it might even be difficult to find a buyer, someone who makes less than $63,000, purchasing a $170-some-thousand-dollar home might have a difficulty getting qualified. I mean, obviously...
They're probably providing some of the income for that, so I wouldn't worry so much about it. But in the meantime, unfortunately, that house isn't going to be for you. But the good news is there are a lot of other houses out there, and you'll be able to find the house that's right for you and your husband. And we should all be happy that these nonprofits are out there doing this, because this is what strengthens our community. You take a house and you rebuild it, and then you help. And it's just what I've said, right? You rebuild yourself, you rebuild your block, you rebuild your neighborhood, your community, your city, and then the whole country is pointed in the right direction. We've got a prize pack coming up, so stay tuned for that. 404-872-0750 to take your questions next on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find Elise Glink live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
All right, so I promised you a prize pack, but we're going to have to do that after the news, weather, and traffic. So we will. We're having to dig it out. I'm so used to having everything attached. I will tell you that something cool is happening tomorrow morning, though, and that is Neil Bortz is filling in for Herman Cain. I used to say Herman Cain is filling in for Neil Bortz, but it's Neil filling in for Herman, and he's coming back. He'll be on from 9 to noon tomorrow morning, which is so awesome. I don't know. I have very fond feelings for both Neil and for Herman, who I've worked with for years, absolutely for years, and it's just been terrific. Oh, we do have our prize. All right, let's see if I can do this very quickly. Prize pack value $349. It includes a four-pack of tickets to Gwinnett Gladiators March 23rd, a four-pack of tickets to Spring Atlanta Home Show March 22nd to the 24th, and an oil change at Braxton Automotive. WSB weekend, McDonald's weekend prize pack value $349. We'll give it to the fifth caller. Fred's on in Crystal today, so it'd be nice to him. Call the prize pack line, 404-741-0750. 404-741-0750. Good luck. Wow, I'm glad we got that in. All right, when we come back, we're going to take more of your questions and try to make sure that more of you are rebuilding America one house at a time here on the Elise Glink Show on News Talk WSB. 36 minutes past the hour this St. Patrick's Day. I'm Elise Glink. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. One of our astute listeners just pointed out that HUDHomestore.com is going down for maintenance this afternoon for 3 hours, but it'll be back up after that. So thank you for that. Again, Twitter, where the conversations are happening, at Glink. Follow me, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And you can search and just see everything that we're talking about today, which I think is pretty helpful. It's a very active conversation for sure online. 37 minutes past the hour, Lori joins us on the line from Roswell. Hey, Lori.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. What can I do for you today?
I have been paralyzed trying to make a decision whether I should refinance my house or not to a 15-year, and I just don't know what to do.
Why are you so paralyzed?
Because I'm 55.
Okay.
I would love to have it paid off by the time I'm 70 or so.
Uh-huh.
I love my house. I don't expect to leave it. But it's an extra $250 a month, and I don't know if I can... If I can swing that, I don't make a lot of money. I have excellent credit, but I don't know how to make this decision.
Well, the first thing you have to do is imagine what life would be like without that extra $250 a month. And you're working now, but what happens when you retire? And you're probably going to retire before you're 70, right?
Well, I would expect to be going part-time.
Okay. And have you looked at what that income looks like?
No, because a good chunk of my income comes from a side business that I have, so I really haven't figured all that out.
Okay, so the reason you're paralyzed is you don't have enough information.
Okay.
Right?
I don't figure this out.
So, you know, you've got this side business. What kind of a side business is it?
Designing.
Designing what?
Landscapes.
Nice. Okay, so that's something that you probably could continue to do in retirement, right?
Right.
Okay, this is your garage. This is your business in the garage, or above the garage, in this case, in the woodshed, the potting shed. So you've got this business, and it brings in a certain amount of money, and you can reasonably expect that to grow or continue depending on how much time you want to put into marketing your services or people recommending you, right?
Right.
So you move into that job. And let's say you wait until your full retirement age, which is probably 67,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So you've got Social Security. Do you also have a pension?
No, but I have some investments.
Okay. So you've got Social Security, you've got some investments, you've got a 401k?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you've got this the income from the business. So... What you want to do is figure out, and I would do it in today's money because, you know, you could do it in the future inflation, but that just looks like so much money that it's silly. So on one side, what you want to do is figure out how much it costs you to live, right? So your house money will be the same, and I get wanting to have it all paid off, but just assume it's not paid off. So how much you're going to cost for your mortgage, your taxes, your insurance, all your costs right now. And then you put in all the income you're making right now. And then in the next one, you put in what you're going to get in retirement, if retirement was today. So Social Security, you can get that at SSA.gov.
Mm-hmm.
You have money in your 401k. Assume you can pull it out at a rate of 3% per year and not run out of money. And then you're going to get the income from the business, and you just leave the income from the business kind of where it is today. So everything's in today's dollars. You can have an easy comparison. And now what you want to see is how far the income in retirement is going to go to paying off the expenses of today.
Okay.
And I don't want you to cheat. Cheating is when, no cheating. You can't cheat. Cheating is when you say to yourself, oh, well, I won't travel the way I do, or... Oh, I'm not going to be buying clothes ever. And, oh, I won't need to replace my roof in retirement. I mean, that's cheating. You have to look at what your expenses are in a given year right now. So you buy some clothes, you go on trips. There's house maintenance costs. There will always be house maintenance costs. There will always be, you know, taxes, real estate taxes. You're always going to need, you know, at some point in time, a new car, right? So you have to think about what all those costs look like and then what the retirement income looks like, and hopefully it matches up.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it. And then you can say to yourself, oh, I understand what I need to do now. So your answer is you're going to, you know, just try and lower the interest rate on the loan, or you're going to get a new 15-year loan, but it's better than paying off the 22 years you have left on the mortgage, or you're going to just refinance at a 30-year, but you're going to prepay the loan as much as you can.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Maybe I should just do that.
Well, that's fine. So you pay a little bit more overall, but if you make two extra mortgage payments a year, you'll take that 30-year loan down to 20-something years. And the amount of the loan is lower anyway because you've already paid off some of it. So how much time do you have left on your existing mortgage?
I refinanced in 2009 to 4.75.
So you're at a 27-year loan, 27 years left. Okay, so you have a couple of different options. You could get a loan, a new 30-year loan for, what, 3.5%, 3.75?
I can get a 15-year loan for 3.5%, but I haven't priced the 30.
Okay. So if you get, so figure it'll be a little higher than that, right? Maybe it's a quarter point higher,
mm-hmm.
but it's 30 years. So what you would want to do, and that will should be a savings over what you're paying now by quite a lot. So you can take all that savings plus a little more, and you could pay an extra 1 to 2 mortgage payments a year and take the 27 years that you have left, and you'll pay off that loan in 22 years. And that's with a 30-year mortgage.
I hadn't considered going up to a 30. I was afraid of, at this late age, of adding more.
But you can change the payment. Right, but you can change the payment cycle. Right? You could get it on a 20-year plan, and you should ask them for a 20-year pay. You could do this on your own. On my website, we've got calculators, and you can calculate how much it'll be if you pay it off in a certain number of years.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you get a 30-year loan doesn't mean you have to pay it in 30 years. You could pay it off in 20 years, or 15, or 12, or 10, or 6, or, you know, it's all about just throwing cash at it.
So is it better to refinance to the lower rate and keep it at 30 years versus just leaving it the way it is and just prepaying on my 4.75?
Yes, because your 4.75 is, you know, over about a point higher than you would get, 1% higher than you would get for a 30-year mortgage.
Okay.
So your issue, do you actually have equity in the property?
Yeah. Actually, I owe $145. I could probably sell it for $180 or so.
Great. So that's so being underwater won't be an issue for you.
No.
So that's fine. So what I would try and do is I would go and find out what the 30-year loan amount would look like. It'll be less than what you're paying now. So let's say it's $100 less.
Mm-hmm.
That would allow you to put $100 a month towards paying down your mortgage. And how much is your mortgage amount?
You mean each month?
Yeah.
Just $1,000.
Right. So imagine if you could save an extra, just for doing nothing other than the refinance, right? You're going to generate an extra $1,200 a year in cash flow to throw at this.
Uh-huh.
So now you've got one extra payment. That'll take a 30-year mortgage down to about 24, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can find an extra $1,000 a year, then
yeah.
you could bring that payment down to about 22, 23 years.
Okay.
So now you've shaved years off. So now we're talking about my home run refinance, right? You lower the interest rate. You lower the monthly payment. You shorten the loan term. Now you just have to manage your closing costs. That's my prescription for a home run refinance, and I think you could have all of that.
Okay.
And then you've got the control of when you retire, you just do the regular payment, which would still be less than what you're paying now. And in the first few years after you retire, you're still going to be making, you know, you still have your business, your side business, maybe it's growing, but you're still, you know, already know because you've already done the numbers, you're going to have enough money coming in to pay for that.
Right.
And that's how you do it and feel comfortable with it.
Okay.
That's how you stop being paralyzed.
Yeah, it's been rough.
And it's scary because it sounds like you're doing this on your own.
Oh, yeah.
So I get how scary it is. I get how scary it is. But what I'm here to tell you is that the knowledge that you gain from going through this math, basic plus and minus math exercise, is going to make you feel so much more confident of what you need to do.
Okay.
I promise.
It would probably take me a year to figure all this out.
No. It should take you about 3 days.
Okay.
No. This is not complicated stuff, right? This is about figuring out, you know, what your income is now, what your income is going to be, what your expenses are now, and what your expenses will be. That's all the math I'm asking you to do. It's not much.
Yeah.
Addition and subtraction, multiplication and division, and this is a test that you get to use your calculator. It's an open book, right? It shouldn't be that scary for you, I promise.
Thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome. Call me back and let me know what happens, all right? 47 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Brian joins us on the line from Woodstock. Hey, Brian, what's going on in your world today?
Oh, just living the dream. How are you?
Living the dream.
Hey, I've got a couple of interesting things that I've tried to fix and tried to take care of, and I'm to my wit's end. Let me preempt the conversation with, I'm going through a divorce, so our marital house is obviously in the midst of that.
I'm sorry.
It is what it is kind of thing. I had two properties premarital that are both rental properties. The one I bought in 2004, the other one I bought in 2006. I did both of them on an interest arm loan. And
interest only?
Interest only, yes, ma'am.
Yep.
And they're an 80-20 split, so they both have 15-year balloons on the second. They were both conventional mortgages, so they're not qualified for the HARP program.
Yep.
And I'm trying to figure out, both of the houses, just for conversation's sake, are the first is a 6%, the second is around an 8% interest rate. And I'm running into brick walls everywhere I turn trying to do something on both these houses. The one house is so upside down, if it flooded, it wouldn't even float. The other house is about an 85% LTV. So I don't know. They've told me once the divorce is final, maybe you can refinance them then. I'm just trying to.
Well, if they're upside down, you can't refinance. Those 80-20s are a disaster.
Okay.
And so you might want to think about letting go of that.
Well, the problem is that both of them are rented, and the one's cash flow and the other is covering the mortgage. So do
okay.
I take the tenants out and let the house go?
No, I think if it's covering its mortgage, then you have to decide if you want to just keep it for the rest of your life.
Right.
And at some point in time, you'll have money to throw against them so they won't be underwater. The second one's not underwater, the 85% one?
Yes, ma'am. The second one's not under, but everybody that I've talked to, the loan requirements are 75% LTV, not 85%.
Right. So after the divorce, you may have some extra cash to throw at that one so that you can bring it into balance.
Okay.
And I would work on that. So you want a global solution because you're a guy and guys like global solutions, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I get it. I am surrounded by alpha males in my office, and I get what they're all doing. But that's not going to work for you. So what you're going to have to do is piecemeal it out. So solve what you can solve and be patient on the rest. So what you can solve is the 8% one is the 85% LTV.
Yeah, the 8% is the second, the 6% is the first.
Great. So what's great about that is that's the one that's positive territory.
Yes.
And it's the highest interest rate. So what I want you to do is as soon as, you know, you're done with this marriage or even before, throw whatever you can towards getting that LTV down. So it's 75%. And then as soon as the divorce is final, go and try to refinance that one property. It's not a global solution, but you refinance that one property. Get that refinanced. And then you can start to decide what to do about the other house that's at 6%, but it's covering all the costs. And what may happen is those people move out at the end of their lease term and you move into that property and it becomes a primary residence again. And if it becomes a primary residence, you're going to have so many more options for refinancing it than you do right now. Because right now I don't have any solutions for you. So fix what you can fix and then be patient on the rest and try to think about all the different things that you have going on. Getting through this divorce has got to be number one. And if you've got any kids, protecting them in the mix as well. All right? Call back and let me know what happens. 51 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB. It's 12:57 on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Klink. Unfortunately, I'm thinking that we're almost out of time. Excuse me, and I'm almost out of voice, if you can hear that. I don't know. Woke up this morning with a little frog in my throat. It held off for most of the show. I feel pretty good. It must have been that green tea. In fact, I heard that Dr. Oz is now recommending green tea again, so he's in his green tea phase. For a while, he was all about the coffee. Me, I like green tea with honey, and it's St. Patrick's Day, so it seems like the right drink for me for today. Anyway, I'm going to go have a little bit more of it as soon as we get off the show. If I didn't get to your question today, I'm so sorry. Please email me at questions@thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. That's where all the questions go. I'll take a look at them tomorrow when I get back to the office, and I will try to do what I can to help you out. Sometimes we get, like, thousands, and I can't get through everything, but I do my best. Sam helps as well, and most people get their questions answered. All right. In the meantime, sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Follow me on Twitter, @Glink. And go out and celebrate St. Patrick's Day. I'm going to make some Irish stew and green mashed potatoes for dinner and have my favorite Irish friends over for dinner and some Guinness stout. I hope you do the same. I'll talk to you again next Sunday. In the meantime, have a great week, everybody.